On their 37th run, the Toronto Fringe Festival gave back over $500,000 to participating artists. This is the most they've ever returned in the festival's history. The beloved Toronto Theatre Festival also saw a surge in advance ticket sales that broke records. Three of their shows sold out entire runs before opening day. The Fringe also ended off the festival with a new personal best for sold-out performances. The nearly two-week run featured 106 shows on 22 different stages. That's a significant upgrade from the 76 shows on 15 stages that was presented last year. Toronto Fringe is a grassroots charitable organization that runs the annual Toronto Fringe Festival each July. To join now in discussing the aftermath of Ontario's largest theater and performance festival is the Fringe's executive director and co-lead. Rachel Kennedy is here. Rachel, welcome to CJTM. The Fringe Festival just took place July 2nd to 13th. It just wrapped. How are you recovering? How are you doing?
Honestly, it's been a whirlwind, as it always is. But I feel like we've really tried to build rest intentionally into the schedule this year. So I actually managed to have a day off. All of our administrative team took the day off yesterday. And we had our production team finish their loadout, and then the production team had a day off the day before that. So we've really kind of staggered a little bit of rest and recuperation in for everybody. And I think that's good because it was certainly needed. It was a whirlwind 12-day festival.
Yeah, you were out at the farmer's market buying zucchinis.
That's right.
What's the reception been like this year? What have you heard from people?
It was really exciting. Not even necessarily only during the festival, but before the festival as well. When we went on pre-sale, it actually was the best we've ever done on record with sales and ticket sales before the festival itself began, which is really exciting. And we knew after the first day of pre-sale that it was going to be an exciting year because we sold more in day one than we did in the first 6 days last year. So that was a good indicator that people were excited and talking about the shows. And I think in the end, we had three shows sell out their entire runs before the festival even opened, which is miraculous and so cool for indie artists to be able to say that.
Yeah, I want to talk about some of those milestones that you've hit this year. What do you attribute to the success of the festival?
I think it's a couple of different things, but I think what it all boils down to is that people were talking about the Fringe. They were looking at us before we even opened. And that comes down to a number of different factors. One of which is this new hub that we've moved down to. We're traditionally have been for years at Honest Ed's and then at Scatting Court and then at the Transac. We've always had this community hub with our free programming that was meant to be a catch-all and a place for folks to come between shows. But as we have so many theaters across the city, it became really hard for people to come back. So we thought this year, you know, what's an opportunity where we could actually place our hub within a series of venues? And we managed to bring it down to Soulpepper Theater, and we built five different performance spaces within the building itself. So you could actually come to the hub, grab a drink either in the atrium or in the patio, and then walk into your show with it, which is unheard of for the Fringe. This is something we've never had before. So that's one thing that people were talking about. Another was in hand with that. We had just announced this Creative Collaborators Initiative, which is Soulpepper Theater, Bad Hats, Obsidian, Musical Stage, and the Fringe. And it's really just sort of an agreement to explore radical collaboration and resource sharing. And what does that look like? And this is all stuff that the Fringe does routinely. And this is really baked into our operations already. But to have these four other really wonderful and remarkable companies come in and say, yeah, we want to sit at the table and deliberately plan how we can share space and resources was really exciting. So I think that also got Fringe in the air a little bit early too. And then I think the third one might be that we pulled the Next Stage Festival in as a series this year at the Fringe. So we had our four folks who had been selected for Next Stage actually presented as a special curated series of hits that we would really believe in and could really put our head and our name behind into the festival this year. And that's something that has never been done before either. So I think all of these changes got people talking and reflecting, and whether or not they were excited about the changes or if they just had a lot of feedback to offer, they were talking about it. And I think that really got people with the Fringe on their radar early this year.
Yeah, tell us about the Next Stage Festival. What is that festival and what's its relationship been with the Fringe before?
So the Next Stage Festival has been around for almost 2 decades now. And it is really like it says, like the name offers, it's a additional launch pad for artists who usually they've gone through the Fringe circuit, or maybe they're just independent artists who really are ready to take that next step into a professional career. And folks at the Fringe has curated and are offering as a real launch pad for industry members to come and discover and program these shows. Shows that we really think are ready to take the leap and join main stages. So my history with the Next Stage Festival goes back to when I was an artist. I actually had the first Fringe show that I sold out brought back in as a Next Stage show fairly early on in my career. And it was incredible. I was producing and stage managing that show. And just the vote of confidence and the validation that we felt as artists being selected and presented on behalf of the Toronto Fringe through the Next Stage Festival was just incredible. It was such a bolstering, confidence-improving effect that it had for all of us. And so it's been very near and dear to my heart ever since then. It was an incredible opportunity. So it's continued over the years from that time to uplift these artists. We have so many people who have gone through it, and we were looking at the impact that we could add and how we can continue this program when there's no specific funding. Nobody funds the Next Stage Festival. The most of it goes toward the Fringe itself. So what do you do with a festival you really believe in and an impact that you know is there when the funding isn't present for it? So we looked at the numbers and we were seeing a smaller audience coming out to the Next Stage Festival, no allocated marketing, additional budget that we could really push toward it. And then we saw this huge marketing budget for the Fringe because of the way that the grants work and all of these audiences that come out for the Fringe. And we thought, why are we not putting these people in front of our biggest audiences and our biggest champions? So we brought it in as a series this year to see how it would work. And I'm really, really proud of the results, not just for uplifting the artists, but actually for the inspiration that I saw the Fringe participants getting out of these Next Stage shows. We had the cast of Alpha was a whole bunch of incredible teenagers who flew up from Trinidad and Tobago to put on their show. And when they came in, they happened to be in the audience the night that I saw Justice for Maurice Henry Carter, which was one of our Next Stage productions. And the electricity of watching these teens take in this Next Stage show and then waiting outside for the performers to come and sign autographs after the show. Like, it just became this incredible inspiration, and not just an opportunity for the Next Stage shows to be discovered, but also for Fringe artists to see where they can go if they continue on this track. It was beautiful. And that was a totally unintentional additional perk that we learned of this year. And it was stunning.
Mm-hmm. You talk about emerging artists, and you were able to give back a significant portion of your sales to artists. You returned over $577,000 in revenue. What is like a amount like this sort of mean to someone that is just starting off? And what is the history in terms of the Fringe being able to offer that compensation or that funding for performers participating?
I think for so many artists in theater, dance, all of these different fields that the Fringe offers, we end up being the first paycheck that these people get for their art. And that alone is such a powerful thing, to know that not only are you worthy of being an artist and having your work seen, but that community members are there and are supporting you, and you get to walk away with proof of that in the end. Every ticket sold goes back into their pocket. Every person who comes because they've chosen you out of, in the case this year, 106 options of what they could want to see. And I think that's the biggest thing, not just that, yes, it's possible to make art as an independent creator, which is very important for people to remember, but really that your art matters, whether or not you have been given a professional stage before this or not.
Mm-hmm. What is it about theater that you think people connect with?
I think we're in a point in time right now where, especially now, people just need to be together. And I think we've forgotten how to do it right. And I'm not sure we've hit it back on the head yet, but theater really forces you to come together and experience something and experience it differently than the people you're in a room with and know that that's okay. I love seeing shows when you're in a row of people and one of them laughs at a line, another one gasps, and another one is in tears. You know, everybody reacts differently and every one of those reactions is valid. And I think that's such a incredible little microcosm for community. So to really help train people how to create spaces that welcome as many people as possible. We always say safer spaces instead of safe spaces, because you can't make promises that you can absolutely envelop every identity and every experience, but you can certainly do what you can to remove barriers and to try. And that's something that the sector in theater right now is really working at and really trying to do. So we try really hard to hit that from the ground level, as this is a lot of people's first experience creating community space and welcoming people in. We try to give them as many resources as possible to do that in what we think is a good foot to start on.
You had to scale back a lot of your funding last year, but then this year you're like increasing that space. You increased it by 25%. You mentioned being able to acquire that space with Soul Pepper and then also inviting the Next Stage Festival. What changed in the last year? Because it seems like quite a significant comeback, I would say, from then. Yeah.
It feels like a comeback. It feels really good. Really, it's this whole line that we're riding of the arts being precarious, but the fringe being scalable. And this is a conversation that I have a lot with particularly people in funding and politics, because they're very interested in our model. More shows at the fringe does not mean that our festival does better financially, because we don't keep the money. We don't keep the ticket revenue. It really just means that we have more people to ask for tips with our Tip the Fringe campaign. But even that, it's a fairly small amount that it varies by. So what we were able to do this year is actually we're experimenting with different models. And that involves looking at folks like Edmonton, which is the largest in Canada, and folks like Edinburgh, who's the largest in the world, and seeing what their models are and what types of sustainability we might be able to reach out and grasp if we were to borrow from those models, but also how do we do that while maintaining what the Toronto Fringe is to the community. So one example of that this year was that we opened up a venue that was produced by an external producer. So we allowed Derek Chua to come in. Not allowed. We were wonderfully thrilled to have Derek Chua come in.
Yeah, you can come in. You can join us. Yeah.
That's right. You can. We love Derek. Derek is always at the fringe. Yes, we brought in Derek Chua this year to produce what he chose as an all musical venue at Theatre Passe-Muraille. And that is very exciting to us. People love musicals at the fringe, and new Canadian musicals are so full of talent and excitement. So we were really thrilled to do that. And this is a new model for us. And the other thing that we tried was bringing in pay what you can as an option for artists. And we weren't really sure if folks would be into that or not. So it was just a checkbox. If you want to do a show, if you want to do some shows, if you want to do all your shows, let us know and we'll set it up on the box office end. And we ended up with over half of the productions in the festival opting in for at least some pay what you can shows, which is incredible. That blew our expectations completely out of the water. And these are just things that help us learn how we can scale and how we can grow or shrink and what it makes sense to offer as a size in the future. But this year, at least by scaling up the way that we did and monitoring audience and ticket sales, we were able to at least know that we didn't stretch our existing audience across more shows, but we actually were able to grow our audience in proportion to the additional shows that we added. So that was a successful experiment. We're very grateful for that. And yeah, it helps us try and find the sweet spot in the future of what size should the Toronto Fringe be? Because we had over 1,000 applications last year. So we're turning away a lot of incredible shows, and it's a lottery-based system. And we want, I would love to do 1,000 shows. There's no way we can afford to do that.
Mm-hmm. People keep coming back hungry, hopefully, mm-hmm. Next year for more. Yeah.
Hungry and talented. I can't get over the amount of hard work and incredible storytelling that was in the festival this year. It was miraculous. So the more of that we can do, the more fulfilled I think the community as a whole will be.
My last question for you, I want to end. Mm-hmm. What makes the Fringe like Toronto? It's based in Toronto. They're Toronto artists, but what is it about it that's very Toronto? You know, there are other Fringe festivals in the world. You mentioned Edmonton and Edinburgh being quite big ones, but what is it about it that really, you know, resonates with the city?
I think it's a couple of things. I think it's that we truly are a festival built on feedback of the community. We really do listen. We send out these surveys and we sit in the patio and hear feedback from people 24/7, the entire festival. And we really take it to heart. We try to mirror the city back to itself. And our artists are so good at doing that. Really, we just need to get out of the darn way. And I think that's part of it. Like, other than the Next Stage series, which we brought in this year, this is a completely uncurated festival. This is Torontonians or people who have come from away and are coming in to tell stories, just being themselves and sharing their art and sharing their work. And I think that is as Toronto as it gets, that it's folks who have grown up here or moved here for opportunities or are just popping up and then are going to go back home somewhere else again. All coming in and sharing space together and figuring out in this short set of just under 2 weeks how to coexist and how to promote each other and how to get along and get by together. And I think that's so indie theater. It's so Toronto. And it's really exciting. A part of it's also these co-promotions and shout outs after the shows that they do for each other. By the end of the festival, you've always made a new friend or five. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we like it.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for coming on and talking about the Fringe.
Thank you so much.
This is Mia Johnson for the Local Journalism Initiative.